Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Summer is right around the corner. That brings increased expenses, both in terms of air conditioning and vacations. Do you spend to keep up with your friends and family when you go on trips, or do you go out every single weekend? What should you consider financially for the summer? What are the benefits of planning for the summer? And will you lose friends if you say that you don't want to participate as much, or that you need to find some cheaper options? Chris Chapman joins me today to talk about all of those things and more. This is going to be a great episode. But the money talking points for today's episode are: what step would be most useful for me in prepping my money for the summer? And second, do I have realistic expectations set for how I'm going to spend money this summer? So with all that in mind, get ready to have a money talk and let's get right into today's episode. You know, we don't talk about money enough. It's a topic that gets ignored for some reason, even though it plays a role in everyone's day-to-day life. Well, this issue is what brought Money Talk with Skylar Fleming to reality. I know you're probably busy and don't have time to research and learn about all the things that go into personal finance, but that's where this podcast comes into play. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming, and I'm here to do the research and learn all the extra stuff about personal finance for you. The goal is to simply get us talking about money. So let's get talking. Welcome to today's interview here with Chris Chapman. Chris, do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit to everyone so they can get to know you?
Yeah, absolutely. Skylar, thanks so much for having me on the show. I love all the topics that we're about to talk about, but really for the guests out there and the listeners, my name's Chris Chapman. In the 8 to 5, I'm in sales. Outside of that, I run Next Level Minds, which is a global podcast. We've been doing it for about 4 years. And then I also do some personal development coaching centered around finance, goals, habits, and just proper behaviors to achieve success. So got my hand in a lot of different things, but definitely excited to be chatting with the listeners and yourself today, Skylar.
Awesome. Yeah. Sounds like you're plenty busy. You keep yourself busy. That's awesome.
Yep.
Well, the episode's titled, and as I talked about in the introduction, today's episode is about preparing for summer, which is in just a couple of weeks here. Kids are getting out of school. Maybe you're graduating from college. There's a wide range of ways that summer's going to impact you, and one of them is financially. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. Chris, let's just dive right into it. What are some financial things to consider for the summer?
Yeah. So I think first and foremost is just auditing your spending. And if you don't have a budget in place, you can still go back to your monthly checking or credit card statements. And I think just having an audit of where you are at, even if it was in the fall, winter, or spring. And I think that'll give you kind of a good benchmark of where you're going to look at going into the summer. And I also think planning in advance, for me, I like to use the Ally High Yield savings account because you can choose 10 different buckets of where to distribute your money. So let's just say you put $1,000 in there. I have a bucket for travel, health, car, all these other things, but one of them being travel, which does happen a lot over summer. And so now all my trips for summer, even going into the fall and winter, I think we got about 8 of them, some very small, that little weekend, some, longer trips where we have to take a flight, but each and every one of them is covered from slowly and surely just continuing to distribute money in my Ally High Yield and then dispersing that out to the travel bucket. So I think that's a good one, is just planning in advance. And then the last two is just, summer is an easy time to slack off if you guys are working, just because it's like, I'm in the Southeast. Today is in May and it's like, it's 85 degrees outside. Would love to get outside and go play golf or do this or do that, things that I enjoy. And I think, especially if you first graduated college, I think those, Thursday afternoons and Friday afternoons when everyone is just like putting their foot on the brake, if you can continue to put your foot on the gas, I think you'll separate yourself significantly from your peers, because it is very tempting when it's 75, 80 degrees outside on a nice summer day to just cool off and relax. And then lastly, I think keeping your financial goals in mind, right? So whatever they are, and if you haven't made some financial goals, would challenge y'all to make them. But going into weekends over summer, looking at those goals and just saying, all right, like let's have some fun and let's enjoy our time with our friends, family, et cetera. But at the same time, we do have some financial goals that we have to reach at the end of the day.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of great things to take away right out here out the gate. A couple things that I thought of too is your utility bills might go up during the summer. Mm. Like that's maybe something outside of the fun spending, because that's not going to be fun when your air conditioning bill comes in. But I love what you said about the goals. I use Ally as well. So like that's a good place to keep things organized.
Yeah. And I love that you mentioned that, because when you audit your spending, let's just say you are fairly scarce on what you have to spend in order to reach your goals. You can audit a little bit and say, all right, like you mentioned, Skylar, you know, the AC bill may go up a bit because of the utilities and the heat and all that. But, you know, let's just see where we could maybe scale back a little bit. Maybe we'll go out to eat a bit less, or maybe we will cancel this subscription that we haven't used in a year and a half, right? And see if you can disperse your funds a little bit to like pay for that added utility, which will definitely happen depending on where you're living.
Yeah, that's a great point. Use that audit as a time to reallocate money, reallocate your spending. And maybe one thing with the buckets that I wanted to mention in a second was maybe you use that as a way to save for future expenses and things like that, which I think is their whole purpose. But maybe there's leftover money in that that you can use towards next summer.
But yeah. And I mean, that happened to me last summer, because we have a home and I have just a home expenses, sort of like random things that come up. And our AC literally went out and it was like $950 to get it fixed. And, you know, that would be a big hit on just the personal monthly budget on top of everything else. But I had that like separate savings account for miscellaneous home expenses and emergencies to be able to cover that, thankfully.
Yeah. And that's maybe like a layer to an emergency fund, where maybe you have your regular emergency fund, but you know, things are going to come up at the house, but they're not necessarily an emergency. So you have a smaller amount set aside for that. That's a great catch there. So with the summertime coming up, what are some common financial mistakes people do? I know you mentioned things like the Thursday and Friday afternoons, going golfing when maybe you don't need to, but maybe what are some other things? How can those be avoided?
Yeah, I think the first one is, and this has happened to me in the past as well, of just spend without thinking about it. You know, when I first graduated college in 2018, I was living downtown Charlotte. There's a ton to do, you know, the Panthers games, Hornets games, lots of breweries, lots of bars, just like any other city out there. And, you know, I'd get asked to go out like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And next thing I know, like, I'd be like, I'm really not like saving as much as I did the past couple months. And like, you have this kind of tendency to not think about it. And so that's a mistake I think people make, is like not thinking about where they're spending their money. And then all of a sudden the end of the month rolls around and you're like, oh my gosh, I'm only saving like half of what I did a couple months ago type of thing. And then I think another mistake is just like spending to keep up with your friends, which actually did happen to me a lot my first year. Because as mentioned at the beginning, I am in a sales role. Sales roles, when you first start out, you really don't make much, but there is a large potential for upside if you continue to stick with it. But some of my friends were in more jobs that had higher base salaries, and I was in a job that had a low base salary, but big upside. Fortunate to be reaping that now, but you know, they'd be going out to like nicer dinners on Friday and Saturday. And then I'd be like, like I kind of felt like I had to go to just kind of keep up that friendship. But at the end of the day, like I really couldn't afford to go out to the nice dinner like Friday, Saturday, and then a brunch Sunday, like some of my other friends. So I think a lot of people make that mistake. And then lastly, kind of encompassing it all, is just they're not disciplined with their spending. And the biggest advice I give here is, you know, you're not sacrificing by not going to that dinner or not going to that game or not going to that bar. What you're doing is you're making an investment into the future version of you, and your future goals. And so I think that's a good way to look at it, to solve some of those challenges of realizing like, hey, maybe skipping this dinner because I really can't afford it and I have to put it on a credit card, which I'm going to have to pay off next month, barely able to make that payment. You know, let's think about making that future investment into you. And then I think if your friends are your real friends, I mean, they're going to understand that. I started shifting that narrative and being like, hey, listen, guys, as of right now, I'm not in the ability to do that because of X, Y, Z. And it's not, I never lost a single friendship over it. It was like, wow, like that's very respectful. Like, thanks for mentioning that. Your friends would much rather you do that than go into debt just to hang out with them at a nicer dinner type of thing, you know?
Yeah. And maybe with that mentioning to your friends, I'm not in a place right now to spend like that. You guys' salaries higher than mine right now. You can be honest with them about it too, but maybe that excuses some of them, because maybe they don't want to, but they don't have, like, they do have the money, but maybe they realize they need to be spending another way. So maybe you're being like almost like a scapegoat a little bit for your friends to be able to say, they don't want to spend the money either. And yeah, then you guys can all work on saving the money. Maybe you start finding some cheaper things to do, some free activities. And just by speaking up and being honest, like you said, you didn't lose any friends off of being honest on that level. So
yeah,
I think that's a really good one.
And I had a couple of friends actually be like, you know what, like, what did you have in mind? And I would list like a awesome idea that maybe it's like half the cost or even like free, like let's just chill at the pool. And then like half the time they're like, honestly, like that sounds actually a little bit more fun and let's just pick up some beer on the way type of thing. Or that's just one example, but
yeah,
I liked how you kind of piggybacked off that one a little bit as well.
Get a cheap pizza and go throw a football at the park. Like maybe that's super old school. Like you're in elementary school or something, but like, hey, it could be fun. You just sit there and hang out with your friends.
Totally.
And another one that I thought of around this question of something that's common that could be avoided, that without thinking is a great point. And I think about it too. Most people like to go on vacation. And if you're plan it ahead of time, you can't pay for a vacation like on that first month's budget, like when you're going on vacation. You need to plan and save for it.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you know, I missed out on a tremendous trip, like literally month one when I graduated, my dad had a work trip in Vegas and he's like, hey, if you can pay your flat out here and like chip in for some dinner, she's like, you'll have a free place to stay for like a whole weekend. I was like, that's something I've always wanted to do. And then I like literally just like thought about it. I'm like, there's just no way that I can do this because this is month one of work right after college. But you know, I could easily do that now because like I have this separate travel fund and other things too. It's like, you know, we already have our Labor Day plans figured out. We're sitting in May and we know, okay, like, the flight, we got that in advance because that saves some money. We've looked at some restaurants that we're going to go and figured out kind of a rough draft cost. And now if you don't have that separate savings account set up yet, then you just kind of reverse engineer. Okay, like let's say this trip with flights, hotel and out to eat is going to cost $3,000. Let me reverse engineer of like how much I need to save per month and how much I need to save per week if you want to get that granular with it so that when the trip does come, you have kind of the exact projected amount of money that you need. And another thing that I do is, you know, I'm a big advocate of using responsibly, of course, but like two or three credit cards responsibly, keyword there.
Keyword.
You know, I have a travel card that's like paid for three or four flights, right, from the travel rewards that I've experienced. And I have a cash rewards card that gave a $250 bonus if you spent $1,000 within 3 months, which in today's time, that's not hard to do. And my wife has the same card. And so we were out to dinner the other night at a nicer restaurant. And then we had a dinner planned that we couldn't get out of the night after that. That was going to be really nice. I'm like, I don't know if I want to drop this much money on food. And I'm like, wait, you still have your cash rewards like saved from that card. And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, cool. Well, let's just use that. Right. And so like, I'm a big advocate of also leveraging responsibly credit cards, whether it's travel or cash that could maybe pay for an extra dinner, pay for an extra flight. You'd be surprised how quick that adds up. And a lot of these credit cards too, because they're trying to encourage new users, they will give you rewards if you refer somebody. So, I mean, I've referred a couple friends to my travel card that's given me 50,000 points, which is a $500 flight, which that could get you a round trip to somewhere pretty decent in the United States.
Yeah. Keyword there responsibly. Of course, make sure you're paying off your cards every single month or else it's not worth it. Like the points just won't be worth it otherwise. But you're getting right into where I want to take this conversation next around tactics. Like what are some ways that people can help make the summer not seem so expensive? Like what's some tactics that you use? Like you said, have a credit card that you're safely earning points on. That way, when something comes up, you got some points to throw at it, or you're using those points towards a planned vacation. What are some other things you got?
Yep. So the credit card's there. Planning in advance is big. If there's any way through your job, which we can touch on more of this at the end, but if there's any way through your job or career to maybe make some extra money, you know, if you're in an hourly role, if you could stay longer, work overtime, if you're in a role where you can kind of control your income a little bit, like sales or some business development role, you know, see if there's other things that you can do to kind of leverage and get a little bit more money. That'll help you have a bit more fun of a summer if you're only at, you know, this chunk and then you now have a bit bigger chunk to play with over the summer. And then I think another tactic as well is just, again, going back to what I mentioned earlier of like, make sure you think about your spending before you actually go out and spend. Again, I've seen too many people get into trouble because they just feel like they kind of have to keep up with the Joneses of like, oh, well, you know, my friends are going here and here and here and here and here. And like, I just kind of feel like I have to go with them. And it's like, you really don't have to go with them if you're not able to make it work type of thing. So that's kind of what I share. And then I think like the big one for me also is just shifting and allocating different funds, you know, it's because your bills will go up, you know, you're going to be traveling, you're probably going to be driving more, there's more to do. And then utilities is a whole separate conversation. And what people don't think about too, with their purchases is the sub purchase that goes with it. So for example, my wife and I just got a dog about a month ago, and it's like, yes, we've kept in mind the vet bills. Yes, we've kept in mind the food. But what people don't think about is that subsection of like, well, now we have to drive a little bit more, maybe to go to the dog park, or maybe now we have to like drive a little bit more to go to PetSmart. And that's going to be now an added expense to your gas. That's probably going to be an extra $15, $20 a month. So I think also like before you make any potential big purchase, like summer travel, like think about the sub items that could go with it as well. And that's one I think that gets people. And I didn't even think about that until we got the dog. And I'm like, why did we spend like $30 more on gas? I'm like, oh yeah, because we had to like drive to the vet and then we had to go here. Like that wouldn't have happened if we didn't have the dog, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I like that because maybe during the summer you're going on more hikes. That's more gas, even though they're free. Like you got to think of those sort of things. Maybe you're just hanging out with family more. That's more gas. A lot of things I think are going to come back to being more travel expense and just that expense that maybe isn't necessarily the part of the fun. So that's a really good point. One of the things that I wanted to bring up here is sinking funds or buckets, like they're called with Ally, and budgeting to save ahead of time. One thing that my wife and I like to do is we'll say, like, we'll sit down at the beginning of the year and say, let's go, here's some time frames that we can go on a trip or maybe a small camping trip. And we'll put those on the calendar and then start looking into how much they're going to cost and everything like that. But throughout the entire year, we're putting money into that vacation bucket, like you mentioned. We're specifically putting maybe $100 or $200 into it. That way, when a big vacation rolls around, we don't need to suddenly find thousands of dollars out of one paycheck that doesn't exist. So yeah, sinking funds, if that's the term that they're commonly called, or buckets like you use with Ally, but I think those are great.
Oh yeah, man. I mean, I've used Ally, and it's, of course, this is not like a sponsorship for Ally. I just can't, you know, justify like how great it's been for me. And another big one, I know this is about summer, but I have a gift fund. Yep, and so that way, like when holidays come, it's like, I could spend $2,500 on gifts because I don't know the exact stats, but I think it's like 60% of people go into like credit card debt over like Christmas and Thanksgiving because they're buying more gifts, more food. But it's like every month I'm putting a certain amount in there. Boom, 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 boom. November, December hits. It's like I'm covered. And so that's why I like Ally, because you can have gifts, travel, and like four or five other sub buckets in there. And their interest rate pays a bit more than traditional banks out there. So yeah,
not sponsored, but they're a great product. Yeah. They definitely get their fair share of organic time. So I like that Christmas thing you mentioned. I actually got an episode coming up soon that says Christmas is coming, but we're going to release it in like middle of June, just because you got to be, if you're saving for it ahead of time, you're able to, one, give a nicer Christmas if that's something you're looking forward to, or all those sorts of things. So you always got to keep those things in mind that are regular expenses, especially with summer or Christmas or whatever is coming up.
Yep. And this is all, you know, experiences and failures along the way that have helped me build. I mean, like I said, missed out on that Vegas trip. I put a trip one time on credit card debt, took like 2 months to pay it off. I've put Christmas gifts on credit cards and then had to pay it off by like May. And it was just so stressful. And so for the last like 3-4 years, I've been way more intentional about like the buckets and planning in advance. And, you know, knock on wood, I'm going to keep this going. But, you know, it's all from like rinse and repeat failures. So the people listen, like I've had the experience. I've had to put those things on credit cards and it wasn't that fun. So
yeah, that's the value, I think, of these podcasts. You get to hear what other people have learned and just take it and absorb it into your own life. But what are some, we've talked a lot about planning. What are some benefits for planning for the summer? Mine is it just makes it a whole lot easier to enjoy. Like what are your thoughts around planning for the summer?
Yep. So I think you get to stay on track with your spending, right? And you don't get behind on your financial goals, because the best way I like to look at my financial goals is like, hey, if your goal is to save X amount this year or invest X amount, how much do I need to do per month in order to allow that goal to happen? And I think a lot of times people will get off track between June, July, August, because it's like, hey, well, the remaining, you know, 9 months, I was able to save X amount, but I got off track. So I think planning in advance helps you stay on track. And to your point, like you are able to have more fun because you can go on the trip, the vacation, out to dinner with friends, and kind of have that guilt-free spending mentality where it's like, I'm still hitting the goals. And, you know, my wife and I had our 1 year anniversary in July, 2021, and I had a whole separate bucket, like just for that trip. And I mean, we stayed at a nice hotel, we're going out to nice dinners. And normally I would be freaking out in my head of like, oh my gosh, like this is just killing my monthly budget over here. But the whole entire time on the trip, you know, we're like, hey, let's like focus on having fun. And it kind of like took that voice out the back of your head. It's like, watch what you're spending, watch what you're spending. Now, not like we went overboard and we're buying, you know, multiple bottles of wine and steaks at dinner over here, but it was like we went out to a nicer restaurant, stayed somewhere nicer without having to worry about kind of like, all right, don't forget our bills this month type of thing, you know? Yeah,
just because you're planned ahead. So like if you plan on go, if you like, if your family likes going on a cruise every summer, plan ahead for it, give yourself some flexibility and then spend that money. Like that's what's fun about it, is you get to spend it.
Yeah. And put it where you value. Like we're talking about trips a lot, which a lot of people do like travel, but hey, maybe if travel is not your thing and you prefer like sports games, then, you know, have fun at the sports games. Right. So I think that's another thing I like to tell people as well, of like invest into where you value with your hard earned money. And I like to pick like three or four things that I value, which one of the main ones is experience and memories, which generally comes from going to different locations and vacations and stuff. But, you know, to the listeners out there, like audit what you really value out of life and then don't feel guilty for spending money. And, you know, Skylar and I may have similar values of where we like our money, but there's people out there that may have completely different, and that's fine, but it's just spending it on what you actually value and where you actually value.
Yeah. Maybe your thing's traveling. Maybe it's going to really nice museums in your area, like whatever that is. Pre-plan and then plan how you're going to get that money for it, and then go have that guilt-free spending like you were mentioning.
Right.
But and the one last thing to kind of wrap up our conversation is people like that. We tell people save and save and save, save all your money, like get a high savings rate. Should people like completely forego their summer? Like, should they just be completely saving and sit inside and don't spend any money? Or how do you balance that saving and still spending in a summer where it's likely that you're going to spend more money than the rest of the year?
No, I don't forgo the summer, because, you know, as tough as this sounds, you know, this could be your last summer coming up. You just never know when it's your time to go. Right. And so that's why I say that, because it's like, you want to make sure like you're creating memories, having a fun time, but, you know, still working hard along the way. And so I think it's just, again, being very intentional and smart about where your money's going, asking yourself, you know, is this something that I really should be spending my money on? Do I need to go to the eighth nice dinner in a row for 8 weeks in a row? Like I could probably chill for a couple of weeks type of thing. And then I also like to ask myself, like, you know, the 48 hour rule for anything over $50 from a material item. So like a clothes or just anything that kind of comes up. If it's over $50, I give myself 2 days to think about it. And I would say 8 out of 10 times I end up not actually buying it, because I realized like, I don't really need it. You know, I was looking at a new pair of sunglasses the other day and it was like $150. I was like, ooh, summer's coming, I could buy these. And I was like, I'm gonna give myself 2 days to think about it. And then I actually looked in my car in the trunk and I saw my old pair of sunglasses that I haven't seen. And I'm like,
there you go.
Well, I'm so glad I didn't buy the sunglasses, because you know, that wouldn't have happened. And so even if I don't find the thing I'm looking for, I realized like, you know what, maybe I don't need this like fifth pair of shorts, right? Or maybe I don't need this, that, and the other, because the 48 hour rule. So that's what I challenge people to, especially if you're, you know, not at the level yet where you're making like multi-hundred-thousand dollars, which I, when you get that point, you know, you don't have to do that 48 hour rule. But I think if you're under, let's just call it 100, I think you do have to be a little bit more intentional about kind of that 48 hour rule a bit. So yeah,
if you're intentional before you get to that 100, you're going to keep up those habits too. And that's just going to allow you to increase that savings rate. I love the 48 hour rule. I've talked about it before on previous episodes. Oftentimes you're going to forget about that thing you wanted to buy because you're going to realize maybe it didn't really matter. Like in your case, you're going to realize what you got works just fine, or you find the thing that you were trying to replace and you're good. One of the things that I had as a thought around saving versus spending is if you have that like plan in place, we've talked a lot about planning. If your plan requires some sacrifice, I think it's okay. Like if you need to scale back your summer and have a smaller summer because your plan is in place, then go ahead with that. But if you're saving just for the sake of saving a ton of money, like your savings rate's around like 50-60% and you're doing it just for savings purposes, then you're probably might be overdoing it. Like that's it. Like we've said multiple times, it's all about intentionality and planning, and just make sure you're aware of what you're doing and you're not doing it just because it's the cool thing to do, whether it's the cool thing to save or the cool thing to spend.
No, that's a great point.
Yeah. That's what our conversation around prepping for summer. Chris, I know one of the things you mentioned was making that little bit more money. Like if your career has some more room to grow during the summer, to make a little bit more to prepare for the summer, you had some steps that you wanted to share with our audience, and yeah, tell us more about what you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And the reason I want to share this part is just, I think saving and investing is only one side of the equation, but there's the whole other separate side of the equation that's, hey, let's increase that income a little bit so that you can even have more fun and save more and kind of have this perfect harmony in between. And I kind of have a 6-step process that's worked well for me over the years. And the first one, and this is actually from a book I read a while back called 5 Things a Millionaire Taught Me. But the author talks about in order to be wealthy and in order to increase your income, the first thing you have to do is make the conscious decision in your mind that, hey, today I'm going to decide to increase my income. I'm going to decide to be wealthy. I'm going to decide to be financially successful. So switching your brain into saying, I'm deciding to make this happen, because I think so many people have a fixed mindset of like, here's how much money I'm making. Hopefully I get a 5% raise, but it's like, turn on that switch and say, no, I'm deciding today that I'm going to start changing everything. Part two of that, you know, this is the second point here, is just believing that it's possible. A great book that I read was Think and Grow Rich. And then The Magic of Thinking Big talks about your success, especially financially, is only going to be as big as your belief system. So I think have a bigger belief system. And third, I think analyzing what skill sets, characteristics, and attributes that you have that can make you money. You know, for example, if you're a relationship builder, you're a people person, like, maybe go into sales. But if you're more analytical and maybe you're a bit more type A, then maybe go into some type of like engineering type of role. Either one is not good or bad. Like, it's important to audit what works best for you. What skill sets do you have? What natural personality do you have? And there's numerous tests you can take that can kind of give you a path of where you should utilize those skills. And then fourth is just become addicted to learning. I've realized that the most successful people out there are still reading books. They're still listening to podcasts like this. They're still watching YouTube videos, right? Because there's the whole concept of, you know, the most earners are the most learners, right? And so I think that's a big one. And then the last two is just, I think, becoming the best version of yourself, striving to do that. I have a thing that I always like to say is just your mental and physical health are tools that you have that are able to create a successful life for yourself. So I think keeping those things top of mind. And then lastly is just finding a reason bigger than yourself in order to make more money and in order to save and invest more. So, hey, like, why do you want to make more money? Kind of figuring out the why behind it. And then why do you want to save 30, 40% or invest 30, 40%? Is it so that you can go on that trip? Or is it so that you can give your kids a great life? Or is it so that you can create generational wealth? Is it so that you can retire early? Like, have that reason bigger than just the, you know, the quantitative number. Have a qualitative kind of emotional side to it as well. And that's going to keep driving you to make more money. And of course, saving and investing more, especially on those days that you don't feel like it.
Awesome. Yeah. I love those 6 steps. I'll make sure I write those down and put them in the show notes for everyone to make sure they can get those. I love that last one of identifying your why. I think that's super important. Keeps you motivated when you gotta maybe forego that one summer because it's just part of your goals, or it keeps you motivated as to why you know you need to spend some money because maybe you're more on the saving side. Love that. Yeah. Awesome. Chris, how can people contact you if they want to reach out and find you online?
Yeah, the best place would be Instagram. It's just Chris Chapchap, C-H-A-P-C-H-A-P. I post a couple different stories a week, do a couple posts every month related to personal development goals, habits. And then I always try to check my DMs at least once a week and get back to people if they have any questions or if I can help out in any way. Definitely don't hesitate to reach out.
Perfect. Awesome. Yeah, we'll make sure everything, of course, is linked in the show notes so that people can reach out to you. I've really enjoyed this conversation. I hope everyone can use what we talked about today to get ready for summer and maybe make this summer one where they're better with their finances than they have in the past, or they find something that they can improve and just keep going and keep growing. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining, Chris. This has been a fun conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to today's episode with Chris Chapman. We talked all about getting your money ready for summer. And guess what? Next week's episode is going to be all about getting ready for Christmas. Why should you start thinking about Christmas now? Well, stay tuned. Make sure to subscribe and share with a friend so that you can be prepared for Christmas before it comes around the same time every single year. Here's some of my key takeaways from this episode. Audit your expenses. Plan with things like Ally's buckets or use some sort of spreadsheet to keep track of your money. Make sure you keep goals. Make sure you plan for things so you don't have to do a whole lot of thinking. And don't try to just keep up with your friends. You're likely not going to lose your friendship if you say, oh, can we explore some cheaper options this summer? They're probably going to be relieved as well. So make sure you stay on track. One thing I wrote down is to reverse engineer where you want to be and then figure out how much money you need to save for that. Make sure, though, you're being intentional and creating memories. Be willing to spend money and be willing to do it intentionally and with a plan. That way you can enjoy it and not feel stress. And if you need to, put the 48-hour rule into place. You've heard me call it the 24-hour rule before, but make sure there's some restraints on your spending so that you can be prepared and have the best summer ever. So thank you for listening to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk. The Money Talk show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and should not be used for personal or specific financial advice. Every situation is unique and different. Please make sure to do your own research for your personal financial situation.